Amen. Again, I hope you've turned to Exodus chapter 16. I'll be there in a moment. As we all know, listen, everything is changed. Everything is surreal. Everything's a twilight zone. So on this Mother's Day, listen carefully. You know, moms, this Mother's Day is different from any other time, not only in your lifetime, but in all of our lives. And the reason, of course, is because of the COVID-19, the pandemic. And here we are, we find yourself, all these new things that you're doing, that we're doing too. But, you know, like, for example, we're all sheltering in place. That's being lifted now a little bit. And, you know, you're working from home. You're probably teaching your kiddos. I mean, what a requirement, all the pressure that this pandemic has caused in your life. And plus, like I told the first service, you girls, you know, your moms, you have a brand new wardrobe now. You have the gloves that you wear when you go shopping. You have that beautiful mask that you put on. And, you know, the new fragrance, Purell. Isn't that wonderful? Don't you just love that smell? It's growing on me. And then, you know, yesterday I did something. Finally, I hadn't had a haircut since March 1st, the first week of March. Man, I finally got a haircut. And, that's why I'm so weak this morning. My hair has been cut off. You know, I'm kind of like Samson. That's the only joke I have, okay? Now, but you have a new hairdo. It's amazing. I did not realize how many women at Calvary, that's not your real color. Man, I am blown away because I'm seeing all these new colors. And I was talking to someone the other day. I said, your hair's changing colors. I said, no, that's my real color. So, you guys have a brand new hairdo, praise the Lord, and you have a new position that you're in. Moms are just in a brand new place. It's called social distancing. So you go to Kroger, you go to Sam's, you go to Costco's, wherever you go. It's hard for a woman to be apart from people. Never mind, I don't want to get into that. Now, with all that being said on this Mother's Day, listen, girls, ladies, in one day, not only your life changed, my life changed, all of our lives changed, but in one day, our normal life suddenly just ended, and the new normal began, and it has been an unreal time. This is true not only for moms, it is true for all of us, every man, woman, child, not only in America, but those many around the entire world. And I don't need to go through all the statistics and tell you how bad things are. You know, there's nearly 80,000 people now that have perished in America from this virus, and well over a million now that's infected. Now it's even reached the White House and all the things that are going on. And plus the unemployment. Now we've surpassed that of the Great Depression. And we see food lines in our own nation on this Mother's Day. It's unbelievable. So you go to Costco and you want to buy meat, and they ration the meat because there is a meat shortage. Yet, like I told the first service, they just gassed in America over 2 million chickens. They're pouring out millions of gallons of milk, and they're plowing under all of the crops. Well, I don't understand that. That's what I mean. Everything is so unreal. With all these things happening in your home, in your workplace, in your lives, moms, you have to be now more than a mother. You have to be a super mom. So I know that there's been a lot of pressure on you, the things that you're going through. But listen, yes, we have gone through a major change, a temporal change, actually. That's my prayer. But the good news is that our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, ever changes. God's word never changes. That means something. That means if you are a believer, whether you're a mother, a father, whether you are, whoever you are, if you are a believer, we are indeed the safest people on this planet. And the reason is we have God's word. We have God's promises. Moms, listen, did you know you have been inscribed on the palm of his hand? That's what God says. It's not my word, his word. He says that I am your rear guard. Jesus talked to us in John 10:27. He said, listen, about our safety. He says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You know what? When you follow the Lord, you are on the safest path in all of the world. All of the world. You're following Jesus. That means if you're doing so, moms, listen, All of us. It means that you're denying yourself. You're taking up your cross daily, and you are following the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said this, not only did my sheep follow me, he says, I give them eternal life. I give them. It's a gift. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. He says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one, no person, no devil, no one will snatch them out of my hands. You know, I love that scripture because Jesus said, I give them eternal life. Listen, if eternal life is conditional, it's not eternal. But see, Jesus said, no, I give them eternal life. You have it. You possess it this very moment. He said, and no one will ever snatch you out of my hand. It didn't say that you would never backslide. It didn't say that you'd never get mad. It never did say that you would get in trouble or do things that you didn't want to do. Jesus had he made a promise, which is immutable. In the Greek, it's a double negative. I will never, no, never, no, never, no one will ever take you out of my hands. You're the safest mother, if you're in Christ, in all of the world. But just because no one can snatch you out of the Lord's hands, it doesn't mean, Mother, that, you know, that we live in a trouble-free world. And we know for sure now during this pandemic, it's not a trouble-free world. Jesus made a promise to all of us in John 16:33. He said, after these things, he said, my peace I give unto thee, my peace. He goes, in the world, here's the promise, in this world, and we are right this moment in this world, but we're not of this world. In this world, you will have tribulation. You're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have problems. But then Jesus says this. This was right before he was on his way to the cross. He says, but you be of good cheer. You be courageous. I have overcome the world. The Bible teaches us, it says this. It says in 1 John, it says in 5 verses 4 and following, it says, who is he who overcomes the world? Or whoever believes in him, that's the requirement, I'm sorry, whoever believes in him, believes in Christ, has overcome the world. And who is he who overcomes the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Loved one, listen, you are safe this morning. You see, it says, Jesus said, my peace I give unto thee. You know, the world that we live in, we've watched it. They base their peace, their security on resources, what they can hold on to. I still am amazed that there was that people purchased all that toilet paper and hoarded it. Think about that. Or, I mean, the sanitizers, you know, the germ-free thing. I mean, I only bought about 40 cases myself. It's in my office, but, you know, I hope you're laughing because that's my second joke, okay? No, listen, the fact of the matter is that the world ran to that. It ran to that and so forth. But, you know, we don't base our peace on those things. Our peace is not based on what we have but who we have. Our peace is a person. He is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:14, it says he himself is our peace. And you have that peace, loved one, right now. So you're probably saying, now, Bill, this, I'm listening to you say this is a Mother's Day sermon, but it doesn't really feel like a Mother's Day sermon. Now, listen, it is a Mother's Day sermon, but it's a different Mother's Day sermon because it's based upon a different time. There has never been a time, never a Mother's Day like this. Never in your lifetime. Never in my lifetime. And guys, daughters, and those who love your mama, and boys, men, listen to me now. You know what? No matter how we honor mom today, it's just not going to really be the same as the Mother's Days in the past. It's all different. You know, sometimes in life, we have a series of ups and downs. We go to the mountaintop experience and it's wonderful, but then we find ourselves back down in the valley. Sometimes life is a series of new normals, okay? We're certainly living in a new normal right now. And we don't know, this could be, people say, Bill, is this the end of time? I mean, are we in the last days? Well, yes, we're in the last days. Is this the beginning of sorrows? Well, I don't know, but it may be a foretaste. It may be a foreshadowing, shadowing, if you will. It could be the beginning of sorrows. I don't know, but I know this. It doesn't matter about any of those things because I know Jesus is going to take care of us and he's going to come after us. But when we look at all of this, you know, these new normals, these series of new normals, I want to use it as an example, the children of Israel. Now, when I say children of Israel, that means mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, children. It means all the family, okay? So remember what happened with the children of Israel. The Lord did something to them. He led Moses to deliver the children of Israel from 400 years of bondage. Remember, there in Egypt under Pharaoh, making those bricks and all the things that they were doing. Now listen very carefully. They were delivered by the blood of the Lamb. But all that that generation knew, they didn't know anything else except bondage. 400 long years. That was their normal. So out of Egypt, and now by the blood of the Lamb, now into the wilderness being led by Moses and the Lord. Now that's what you call a new normal. I pray that you are in Exodus 16, verse 1. And they journeyed from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel, remember again when the children of Israel, moms, dads, the whole family, it says they journeyed from the children of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, very important. And after they departed from the land of Egypt, in other words, out of the bondage and the slavery by the blood of the Lamb, look what they did. Then the whole congregation, moms and dads and sisters and brothers and little everybody, the whole congregation of the children of Israel, they rejoiced. Man, they killed the fatted calf. They had a party. No. It says they complained against their leaders, Moses and Aaron, in the wilderness. Now listen, all that that generation knew was the flesh pots of Egypt. Slavery, making bricks, and so forth. That's all they knew. They were in bondage. And now we find them delivered from Egypt, from the bondage. And what do? They're not rejoicing. They are complaining in the wilderness. Now, we, just like Israel, it says in the second month, they've been gone from bondage for 2 months. And here we are, we've been going through this pandemic for over 2 months. And I know that I've complained. I have. I'm ready for this to end. I know you're ready for this to end. Matter of fact, I can even say this. I am sick of it. I know you're sick of it. But you know what? I know this, that when we complain, when Christians complain, here's what happens. You forget the 10,000 blessings that God has already blessed you with by one trial, and that's the trial that we're in. It's so easy, and I've seen it all these years of the ministry. You know, I don't like to be, sheep hate to be, they hate change. When you come in, matter of fact, Mario is here right now. He took a picture just a little bit ago. He's running our sound. Thank you, Mario. And it's so funny, you know, I have puppets on the front row. Don't tell anybody that. We're very good friends by now for 2 months. They're even talking to me. Sometimes I even take up an offering from them, pray for them, lay hands on the sick. They haven't recovered yet, but matter of fact, they haven't said a word. But he took a female puppet and a male puppet, and he put them together in a certain chair. And I said, that's where you sit. And he took a picture of that and sent it to Rhonda. Why? He doesn't like change. That's my seat. That's my chair. And when you come back, when we start having church again, you're going to go, you know what? I'm going to look over there, and I'll see there's Jimmy, you know, and so forth. And I'll say, Danny and Paul, over there you are. I mean, I just know. Steve and Carol back there. Paul, you're over there walking around with your microphone. You know what I mean. Okay, but it's going to be different. And so we're in a different time right now. And I know you want to say, I want to be in my happy place. Sheep love the happy place. I want to be in my comfort zone. Sheep, you love the comfort zone. You don't want anything to rattle your life, and I don't either. But listen, everything has rattled your life. Your whole life has changed, and it's not over with yet. Happy Mother's Day. I'm on a Mother's Day message. Look at verse 3. Children of Israel said to them, remember, children of Israel, last time I'll tell you, mothers, fathers, whole family. And listen to what they said. Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. In other words, we'd rather be slaves. We'd rather be in bondage than be with God. He says, oh, when we sat by the pots of meat. Oh, when we ate bread to the full. Oh, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. 2 months. We're 2 months into this pandemic. Are we complaining? Moms, listen, I know it's hard on you. You're homeschooling your kids, or that should be finishing up soon. And you're doing it remotely, in other words. They're learning remotely from a distance. You know, and maybe you're working from home too at the same time. Maybe your husband is working from home at the same time. Maybe you don't have a husband. I mean, it's hard. And you have to go buy this and groceries and all the pressures. And maybe you're lost your job. Listen, it's hard. I understand. But oh, how easy it is to look back. They look back, remember the children of Israel, remember what they did. Oh, when the fish was so abundant. Oh, we had leeks and we had pots of meat and we had onions and we had cucumbers and we had onions and so forth. It's no different for us saying, oh, when we used to eat freely. Oh, when I used to not, I could go into McDonald's anytime. Oh, when I could go, like Raul, he loves this place, Raul. He gets an In-N-Out burger with all the, you know, I've only had two In-N-Out burgers in my life. And they're really good. And you know what? Do you know the manager that In-N-Out Burger over, he goes to this, to Calvary. He didn't give me a discount or anything, but he goes to Calvary. You know, are you guys listening to me? I didn't hear anybody laughing at home. Now listen, no, I look at this and I say, dear Lord, oh, I remember when I could go to Uncle Julio's. You know, I know what that's like. You know, but you know what? We don't want to be a complaining people. And look what God did to those who complained. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm going to rain down fire and brimstone, and I'm going to consume them all. No, look what our loving Father did. Hey, I'm going to rain down from heaven, not from Safeway, not from Kroger, not from Albertsons, from heaven. I'm going to rain down from heaven for you and for the people. They'll go out, and they're going to gather a certain quota every day, meaning the manna from heaven, remember? That I may test them to see if they will walk in my law or not. In other words, do what I say about the gathering of the manna. Now listen, that is the incredible love of God. These people were complaining. They were rebellious people. They were people that were walking in unbelief. And what God says, listen, I'm not going to forsake them. Moms and God, in whatever you're going through in this crazy time, he's not going to forsake you either. Now drop down to verse 11 of chapter 16. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I've heard the complaints of the children of Israel. Now speak to them, saying, at twilight, that's evening, at twilight, you shall eat meat. And in the morning, you'll be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And so it was that quails came up in the evening, covered the camp. And in the morning, the dew lay all around the camp. Now listen, I don't know how you feel about that. That is unbelievable. I don't have to go to Kroger. I don't have to go to Albertsons. I'm going to walk out of the front of my tent in the evening, and guess what I'm going to find? I'm going to find quail. Now, that would mean they're right there. God's bringing the quail in. I don't have to hunt them. I don't have to search for them. I don't have to do anything but just grab one and take it into my family. Listen, that's millions of quail. Look at that. Picture it in your heart. Millions of quail coming toward you. But Bill, I'm a vegetarian. Well, that's your problem. Now, you know, millions of quail coming. No, man, I mean, this now is their new normal. Do you understand that? Their stomachs are going to be full at night while they sleep all night long. Guess what God does? He's going to let the manna from heaven come down and settle upon the frosty areas and so forth. It says, listen to this in verse 14. And when the layer of dew lifted, there was a surface of the wilderness, small round substance, fine as frost, on the ground. It's angel's food, as one psalmist called it. And so when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? That's what manna means, by the way. For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. That's the bread from heaven. We have Jesus, the real bread from heaven. Amen. He says, and look down at verse 31. And the house of Israel called it manna, or what is it? And it was like white coriander seed. The taste of it was like wafers made with honey. Now, that was there in the wilderness. Do you remember what happened to the first generation of the children of Israel, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, all the family, when they were in the wilderness? What happened to them? The Bible says that their carcasses fell. They died in the desert. They were buried in the desert. Why? Because they refused to go into the promised land. They rather would go to back to Egypt. They go into what God had promised. So they were. God says, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. Now you're saying again, Bill, are you sure this is a Mother's Day sermon? Yes, it is. It's just a different Mother's Day sermon because we're in a very different time. Now, the first generation, there they were. They didn't make it. They died. But they had children along the way. So that born to them were sons and daughters and so forth. That became the second generation in the wilderness. Now listen to me now. That meant that the wilderness for the second generation, that was the only life they knew. It was the only normal life they knew. They understood it. That was the life that they lived. That's all that they knew. They were born in the wilderness. They lived in the wilderness. They traveled in the wilderness. Now moms, listen. That second generation, they witnessed the greatest power of God, loved one, in any other generation. That was their normal, okay? That's what they were used to. That was just, they loved, it was just used to that. So for 40 years, imagine traveling in the wilderness, and Moses, when he gave his farewell speech in Deuteronomy, he said, you know, the Lord led you in the wilderness, or I led you in the wilderness, and he says this, your sandals never wore out. Your clothes, they never wore out. For 40 years, that was their normal. Not only that, for 40 years, they had a cloud by day. For 40 years, they had a pillar of fire by night, representing, of course, the presence of the living God. And listen to what the Bible says about the cloud, the pillar of fire, in Exodus 40, verse 36. It says, whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, the children of Israel, the mothers, fathers, sisters, all of them, the children of Israel, they would go onward in all of their journeys. But if the cloud was not taken up, well, then they did not journey till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was above the tabernacle by day, fire was over it by night in the sight of all of Israel throughout all of their journeyings. Now listen to me. This is so, mothers, is so important. The mothers of the second generation, they did the same thing every day for 40 years. Think of that. Every day in the morning, they'd pick up the manna. In the evening, they would go grab a quail or whatever meat God was bringing to them. That was their norm. That is all that they knew. They knew what was going to happen in the morning. This is my life. It's routine. In the morning, manna. In the evening, meat. God furnished it all. They expected it. They knew it was going to happen. Now, that was their way of life for 40 years. And instantly, it was coming to an end. I want you to turn to Joshua 3:1, and let's look from going from the old normal right there to the new normal. Look at Joshua 3:1. Here's the new normal coming. Then Joshua rose early in the morning. He set out from the acacia grove and came to the Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel lodged there before they crossed over. So Joshua, leading probably 2 million plus people, okay, all the moms, all the dads, all the children, and they're coming up to the Jordan. They're right there where they are. They're about 7 miles from the Jordan. And it says, so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp. They commanded the people, saying this, now when you see the Ark of the Covenant, not the cloud, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, the priests, the Levites, bearing it, or literally carrying it, remember they carried it upon poles, they couldn't touch it. Look what they are to do. Then you, every mother, every father, all the children of Israel, you'll set out from your place and you will go after it. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is now mentioned for the first time in Joshua. We know that the Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of the living God, okay, for the children of Israel. Now, so for 40 years, moms, all they knew was, okay, there's the cloud. If the cloud moves, I move. All they knew was a pillar of fire by night, sheltering them, keeping them warm, and so forth. Whenever the cloud moved, Israel moved. Now everything is new. Everything has changed. The cloud's not moving because the cloud is not there. They move only when the ark is moved. That's the new normal. And yet, there shall be a space between you and it, it says in verse 3:4, about 2,000 cubits by measure. So that's over 3,000 lineal feet, so it's nearly a mile. And so they, believe it or not, they practice social distancing them as well. He says, hey, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. So the only way they could go into the new land was the new normal, okay? They had to be distance themselves like we're doing today from the ark. So, but here's what I want you to see. The old normal is the exact same as the new normal, except it's just different. Why? Because the ark and the cloud by day, they both represent the presence of the living God. God is still going before them. God is still leading them and guiding them, but he's no longer doing it by cloud. He's doing it by a new way, and that is the Ark of the Covenant. They got through. They had to, the wilderness, they had to follow the cloud. Now they have to follow the ark. Look at verse 5 with me. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, or literally clean up your clothes, take a bath, and so forth, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then Joshua spake to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will. Now the Lord said, I will, not Joshua, you will. I will begin to exalt you. I'm going to make you a great leader. So I will be with you. And you shall command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here, hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you'll know that the living God is among you, and he will without fail drive out from you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Gergerites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and probably every other ite, okay? So I could have put it this way. He's going to drive out the coronavirus, the monavirus, or the whatever virus, amen? That's what he's going to do. Now, look at this. When we read that, God says, I'm the one driving your enemies out. Listen, he didn't ask Joshua, you're going to have to drive him out. He said, I'll drive him out, but you're going to do what I tell you to do. This is the same thing, loved one. Listen, God says, I've defeated your enemies before you've ever crossed. I know that somehow, some way, this coronavirus is already defeated in God's eyes. Now, we're just waiting on that to happen from the supernatural into our natural, okay? And it is going to happen. And he says, oh, look at this in verse 11. I love this. Behold the presence of God, or behold the Ark of the Covenant, the Lord, meaning the master, the Lord of all the earth, I love this, is crossing over in front of you, before you. He's going across first. He's preparing the way. All we have to do is follow. He says, crossing over before you into the Jordan. On this Mother's Day, I pray that you know that we serve the God of all the earth. Listen, all power, all authority in heaven, upon this earth, belongs to the one who saved you and saved me. His name is Jesus Christ. Loved one, we're in his hands. And I look and I say, God, you are so good to us. Now, therefore, it says in verse 12, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth shall rest the waters of the Jordan. that the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters that come down from upstream, they'll stand up as a heap. Has anyone ever seen water stand up as a heap? I haven't. So it was when the people set out from the camp, crossed the Jordan, the priests came bearing the Ark of the Covenant, and those who bore the Ark of the Covenant came up to the Jordan, and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped their feet, where? In the edge of the water. For the Jordan overflows all its banks during the time of harvest, which meant that the Jordan, which was normally just 100 feet wide, was now more than a mile wide that they had to cross. Think of that. And it goes, or it says, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still. Watch this. The waters rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeraton. So the waters that went down into the Sea of Arbal, the Salt Sea, it failed. They were cut off. The people crossed over opposite Jericho, and the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground right in the very middle of the Jordan River. Look at that. And all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people, moms, that meant mothers too, all the mothers, all the people had crossed completely over into the Jordan. Now that's what I call an incredible visual. I mean, you're talking about a faith builder before they go into the promised land. Can you imagine the Jordan River? It's a mile wide. And for 20 miles, the water starts going back all the way, 20 long miles, all the way to the city of Adam. And then it stands up like a wall. And the Jordan is dry. And all the children cross over on it. Go to verse 14 of chapter 4. Joshua 4:14. Now watch this. On that day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. They feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. That was a promise, by the way, from God to Joshua. Then the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priest to bear the ark of the testimony. And to make a long story short, so I don't read all this text, just let me put it this way. The moment that the priest's feet touched dry ground, after they had crossed the Jordan, guess what happened? The heap from Adam was let go, and it rushed all the way back, and it overflowed the banks as it was before. Now, I want you to turn to chapter 5 of Joshua and look now at this new normal. It's a series of new normals in life. That's what's happening here. This new normal begins. Now, remember, they are now in chapter 5. They've crossed over the Jordan. And they're in a city called Gilgal, all right? That they're in the promised land. Now, remember that the first generation has perished. Now we're dealing with the second generation. So God commanded Joshua to circumcise all of the males of the second generation, okay? The reason is they had not been circumcised. They're in the wilderness. So instead of taking the land, instead of invading Jericho, what did they do? Well, now they're in pain. Now they're waiting to be healed, okay, and so forth. Now, this is important. It's a whole new normal now. Like it's a new normal for us, loved one. The first experience that they had in their new normal was pain. They were all circumcised. Loved one, that was my first experience when all this started, was pain. I preached a Wednesday night service. People were here. On Friday, I was notified by the governor, as all people were, that the churches, that they closed down, we could not meet. And then over two months ago, I preached on a Sunday instantly to no one. There was no one here. I'm going to tell you, it was painful looking out here, and there was no one. I know that you were listening. I know, just as you're listening now. You know, I look at you, and here's what I do. You know what I'm really looking at? I'm looking at an exit sign. Okay, that exit sign says, there they are. That's my point of contact of faith right there, exit sign. And I say, I see Paul, I see Steve, I see all the people of God. I see Bev and Matt and all you people. I see Allison and all the people. Angela, everybody, there you are. I don't see Raul, I don't see, you know, people like Kindle, but that's all right. You know I love you. I'm teasing you. You got to have humor on Mother's Day, guys. Now listen, the first thing of their new normal was pain. And this pandemic has caused a lot of pain for all of us. Now listen, just because I'm coughing, it's the stinking allergies, okay? So I'm fine. It's just a normal season for me. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. So what I should say to you now, moms, is, hey, happy Mother's Day, because you know what? Gilgal is really a good place. See, Gilgal, that's where we are. It's a place of transition. We are all in Gilgal. We're just waiting to get out of Gilgal, just like the men. They're waiting to be healed. That's what we're doing. We want this pandemic to end. We're just waiting. We're all in transition. And all of us, moms, all of us, we want to return to the old way of life. Yes. But you know what? Gilgal is also the place, again, where everything changes instantly. Look at chapter 5 again, go to verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land, meaning the land of Canaan, on the day after Passover, unleavened bread, parched grain, on the very day. Verse 12, watch this. Then something unbelievable happened to the second generation, the mothers, the fathers, all the children. Then the manna ceased. Think about that for a moment. It's so easy to read that. The manna ceased. Now listen, 40 years. The morning you picked up the manna. 6 days a week you did that. In the sixth day you would gather more so because of the Sabbath. It's because you couldn't go out on the Sabbath to get it. For 40 years. In the morning, the manna, in the evening, the meat. And then all of a sudden, they cross over. They're in Gilgal. They're in a place of transition, just like we are in a place of transition. Everything is different. And what happens? The manna from heaven, man, the miraculous angel's food, the manna from heaven, it ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. Listen to me now. A new land, a new diet, a new normal. Everything changed. But here's what I want you to see. Through it all, there was never a break of God's provision to his children. Even though they complained about manna, even though that they despised the manna, the Bible says, even though they refused to go into the promised land, God fed his people. Now listen, the manna from heaven, the provision from God, did not cease until there was abundant provision. And that's exactly what God does for us. He's not going to leave us. He's not going to forsake us. Now go and drop down and look at verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now he's seeing it for the very first time because the spies just came back and gave him a report. I think it was in chapter 2 of Joshua. So it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, look what he did. He lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, instead of seeing a city, that was his intention, he says, behold, a man, capital M, a man stood opposite him with capital H, his sword drawn in his hand. So this man, he was ready to fight. He was ready for combat. Now listen, this is a theophany, the visible manifestation of God, or literally it is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, our Lord, okay? And it says, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries, our enemies? Now remember that Joshua, the commander here, the leader, he is the only one besides Caleb that survived the first, because he's from the first generation, okay? And he's leading the second generation. And he was looking, hoping to look at Jericho. He knew that God commanded him to take the city. And so he was out there looking, going, how am I going to take this walled city? look at this. How am I going to do it? The way any of God's leaders, we all do those things. We go to the where God tells us to go. So how is this going to happen? How are we going to make it happen? We look at us instead of God. I'm going to tell you something about leadership. Like I told the first service, like when I met with the board yesterday, leadership can be a very lonely place. And the reason is just like Joshua, he knew that tomorrow, or when they took Jericho, a battle was going to begin. He didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know he was going to march around. He didn't know any of those things. And you know what? He was looking, how am I going to take that city? Well, you know what? That's like yesterday. I was thinking, okay, Lord, you know what? How are we going to reopen? How do you really want to do that? And the reason is because I know, just like Joshua knew, that lives were at stake. Lives were at stake. I don't want anyone to be ill. Anyone. In Joshua's case, he didn't want anybody to die. And of course, that's what we're saying as well. But here's the deal, moms. Joshua may have thought he was alone, but he wasn't alone. And you're not alone either in all that you're going through. You know, moms, listen, we're all in it with you. But the fact is that Gilgal is your new normal. It is my new normal. It is every Christian's new normal. But here's the deal. Here we are in the midst of this new normal, this pandemic. Everything is crazy. Our old life seems to be swept away. But what you need to understand that in the middle of this pandemic, in the middle of our Gilgal, there's a revelation. Look at verse 14. It says, let me read what Joshua said first from verse 13. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our enemies? And he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, that unseen army, loved one. He says, I've come now. And Joshua, look what he did. He fell on his face to the earth and he worshiped. And he said, what does my Lord say to his servant? The pre-incarnate Christ right there in front of him. He wasn't expecting that day. Neither was Abraham. Remember in Genesis 18, the pre-incarnate Christ showed up as what? An angel or a traveler, if you will. You know, because Jesus is not an angel. Make it correct that right now. You know, angels were there with him. But and so as a traveler, and Abraham fed them. Moses, it was the burning bush. To Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he was the fourth man in the fire, remember? But to Joshua, he was the commander of the unseen armies, the angels of the living God. Man, listen. And I look at that, and here we are, and the greatest thing that we can learn in the midst of our Gilgal, in the midst of this pandemic, is this. Moms, listen to me. Every Christian, but I'm speaking to moms primarily, but to every believer too. The greatest thing that we can learn right now is that we're not in command. We are second in command. Our commander, the Lord God, is leading us. Amen? And we have to understand that wherever he is leading us, he always comes to help us, but he always comes to lead us. And the Bible says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in Christ in victory. Colossians 2:14. Right now, we're being led in victory through this pandemic, through this Gilgal, if you will. And God is doing it for us. And I love what Joshua did when he recognized who he was. He fell down. He worshiped at the feet of our Lord, just like Mary did. And what else? Look at verse 15. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, what a crazy command in a way. Look at it now. It's so powerful. The commander of the Lord's army said, Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. There's not one piece at that time, or even today, one piece of holy ground in the land of Canaan. Do you understand? What made the land holy was the one who was standing there. He made that land holy. Now, moms, listen, maybe you feel just like Joshua. Sometimes I do. I feel overwhelmed about all of this and what to do, what not to do. I seek God's wisdom, man, every day for this church. But maybe you feel like, you know, this is just killing me. I'm in over my head. I'm trying to teach fifth grade math. It's killing me. It would kill me, believe me. Matter of fact, I'd have to play Dad's got a headache. I can't see anything. Whatever. I can't even do first grade math. But do you understand? You've been put in a hard, hard area, and wearing the mask to the grocery stores. All the things that you are doing. Maybe you're going, I can't take it anymore. This is just too much. And maybe you're saying, my husband's not working now. And, you know, I'm fearful for the future. I don't know what the future holds. Listen, listen carefully. It was at Gilgal that Joshua learned the greatest thing he could ever do in his life. It was at Gilgal that Joshua learned to take off his shoe. What a simple request. Take off your shoe, Joshua. Let me ask you a question, Mom. Let me ask every Christian. Where did you learn to take off your shoe before the Lord? Where was it at? Or have you ever done something like that? Listen to me. We are in a pandemic. We are in a new normal. And the new normal requires you to do something. Take off your shoe. God's with you. It's holy ground. Listen, mother, moms, there will never be a greater Mother's Day gift for you than that. You can do that right now. Take it off. For you are on holy ground. For the Lord is with you. He will never leave you. He will never, ever forsake you. And you have to learn something else. You have to learn what Joshua learned, that the battle wasn't Joshua's. The battle is not your battle. The battle is the Lord's. And what you have to do is this, what I have to do, what every Christian in this Gilgal, this pandemic, what we have to do, moms, listen, is we have to stop fighting the Lord's battle. You need to make that your new normal and make it your new normal right this minute. Did you notice that the Lord, his sword was drawn? I'll take care of it, Joshua. Mom, I'll take care of it. I am the Lord. I'm the creator. I am the sustainer of all things. I have my own sword. I'll fight your battles. And I have never lost a battle, ever. That's who you have with you right now. But mothers, listen to me. Is your sword drawn? Is it drawn? Are you strong? Are you ready to fight? You have to be ready to fight now in the midst of all that we're going through. You have a sword. You know that. Listen, it says in Ephesians 6:17, it says, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I love that scripture because the word in Greek there is not logos, meaning written information on the page of your Bible. It's a warfare word. It's rhema. It means where this word, the information in your Bible, is transferred, the logos is transferred to your heart, rhema, which means it becomes revelation. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the living word of God. It's where you know it, but now you believe it. Do you understand? Big difference. Knowing, oh yeah, I know where it's at. I even have it on my refrigerator. Oh no, but now I have it in my heart, loved one. Listen, what is your sword? It's the word of the living God who cannot lie. Moms, listen, are you armed or are you unarmed or disarmed? Have you laid down your greatest weapon? Have you stopped sharpening your sword? Have you stopped filling your heart with the word of God? Man, I'll tell you, that'll wear you down. It'll wear you down. Listen, the word of God, oh, it's true. It's your strength. Listen to this scripture right here, loved one. It says in Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That doesn't mean when we read that, well, God is on my side. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What this word means is that God himself, he's for you, totally for you. All that God is, all that God has is for me. No wonder God makes this challenge in the Word. He says, who, if I'm for you, the creator, the sustainer of the world, your creator, who in the world would even dare challenge me in this entire universe? For I'm God. I created it all. And then it says, he who did not spare his only son, but freely, it says, freely delivered him up for us all. And how will he not with him freely give us all things? That means the provision that you need. Jesus died for you, died for me, died for our sins. And it says in the book of Romans, it teaches us, he says, who shall separate us from the love of God? The love of Christ, tribulation, distress, persecutions, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. No, and yet in all these things, we're more than conquered through him who loved us. And I'm persuaded, neither death, life, angels, principalities, all this, nothing will separate us. Do you believe those words? Moms, listen, I want to close, for all Christians, but for mothers right now, I want to close with a different translation of Romans 8 that I was just reading to you. Written from a mother to a mother. Listen carefully to it. It says, she says, her name is Ruth, by the way. Her translation of that says this, God, I may fall flat on my face. I may fail until I feel old and beaten and done in. Yet your love for me is changeless. All the music may go out of my life, and my private world may shatter to dust. Even so, you hold me in the palm of your steady hand. No turn in the affairs of my fractured life can baffle you. Oh, Satan, with all of his braggadocio, cannot distract you, and nothing shall ever separate me from your measureless love. Pain can't. Disappointment can't, anguish can't, yesterday, today, tomorrow can't. And I could even say, even what we're going through can't. The loss of my dearest love can't, and death can't, and life can't, and riots, and wars, and insanity, and hunger, neurosis, or disease. None of these things, nor all of them heaped together, can budge the fact that I'm dearly loved, completely forgiven, forever free through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son. That is a rhema word. That is a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the living God. That is rhema. Let that enter into and become a revelation into your heart. No matter what you're facing, no matter what's happening on this Mother's Day, no matter what this pandemic and all the hell that is brought with it, we stand more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Never forget that. So you stand this day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. God is so good. I bid you a happy Mother's Day, a great Mother's Day. I bid every Christian, every person that's listening, a glorious, wonderful day, because we belong to the living God. We're saved. Jesus has saved us. Amen. And you know what? If you don't, maybe you're out there, you don't know Christ. Maybe you're at your mom's house right now, and she's listening. She's listening to this sermon. You've been sitting there, son, daughter, but you've never asked Christ to come into your heart. You know that she's begged you. You know that she's prayed for you. You know that she's cried tears for you. Why not right now? Give her the greatest Mother's Day present of them all. Just pray and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Just say, I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Save me. Save me right now. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that, if you asked the Father of all creation, if you did that and you believe in your heart, he just saved you. Now tell your mother that you're saved. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for this day, for your word, for your truth. I thank you that Jesus is our intercessor, our redeemer, our savior, our advocate, our go-to, our great high priest, our chief shepherd, our great shepherd, our soon coming king. Father, thank you for allowing us on this Mother's Day to come and approach you through the greatest name in all the universe, the name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. The Lord bless you, Calvary Chapel. I love you dearly. God is so good. I pray you have a wonderful day, a peaceful day, a joy.